Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Shorter of breath and one day closer to death. How are you, Ed?
Apparently, I'm doing better than you.
Yeah.
So, do we have your full attention this week?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm coherent, and I'm not bothered. Well, I'm bothered, but that's a different story for a different time. I apologize for last week. That was all me.
Yeah, it's like you got high or stoned off of that Mexican Coke or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And we have our other co-host on the line, Contreras. What's going on, Contreras, besides being a little late?
Nothing. What you want?
I don't know. Maybe just to do our weekly show we do every week at this time.
Oh, I thought it was going to be at 9 o'clock. I don't know.
That's true.
I fixed it with 4 minutes to go. Luckily, I caught it because I was thinking I was doing a switchboard, and I looked, and I see a number one. And I'm like, oh, shit, I only got a minute. And then I'm like, wait a minute. That's that one is in the wrong spot.
I got on the switchboard, and it said that there's an hour and 7 minutes until the show. I said, what?
Catastrophe averted. I saved the day. You know, me and my awesome computer technical.
You saved the day. You almost ruined the day.
This is all true.
Well, I guess that's true, but I might have ruined it, but I did save it. So.
Never mind. You fixed it. You fixed the day.
Yeah, I fixed the day.
Okay. I did something. I'll give you that.
But before we get started, I just want to send a special shout-out or birthday wishes. My best friend in the whole world is having her birthday Sunday, so I just want to say happy birthday, Barbara, and have a good one.
Mm. And a big happy birthday to Sinbad, possibly yesterday.
Yep.
Who's Sinbad?
Somebody much more important than Barbara.
Whatever. A chubby miss.
Wow.
Yeah, right. And anyway, so, Craig, why don't you tell everyone what we have in store for them tonight?
Well, I've been busy this last week. I, you know, snapped back into attention and realized we're doing a show and whatnot. Tonight we're having one Mike Mondo from ROH Wrestling on, and I'm very excited to speak to him and talk about cheerleading and such.
Yeah, well, I gotta say that was a lot of people like hated the gimmick, but I thought it was awesome.
I thought they were great,
and I thought Mikey was actually my favorite one of the whole group.
Yeah, he was definitely.
I like whoever did the springboard off of the trampoline to do a clothesline into the ring was awesome. Whoever did that, I don't know who it was. Probably Dolph Ziggler or somebody.
By the way, I just want to interrupt real quick. We have a little bit of breaking news. I just saw this on the main site. We have a WWE release. To no one's surprise, Trent Beretta has been released from the WWE.
Well, I thought he got released months ago. That's somebody else.
One more time, Ed.
I thought he got released a while back, or was that somebody else?
Must have been somebody else, because it just hit the front page of Figure Four Online. Trent Beretta was released earlier today and is already booked for Pro Wrestling Syndicate on its 4-4 WrestleMania weekend show in New Jersey against Sanjay Dutt.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
I know, I can't even picture which one Trent Beretta is, but anyway, I was on Twitter, and I saw Robert had a retweet from a certain fat ugly little promoter saying that who wants to see him make Trent Beretta a star?
Who?
And I'm like, all I can say is Gabe Sapolsky is very delusional.
Well, he's done well with a lot of people, so I don't see nothing bad, Ben.
I have to agree. I mean, he's done a lot with very little.
You look at a lot of those guys when he was back in ROH and where they are now, so.
That's true.
Yeah, but they had talent. It wasn't just Gabe. It's not,
Well, you, never mind. No sense talking to you.
It's not like he has heat with the guy or anything, so let's be honest.
But
so get on the stick and call our guest. Okay. It's only five after. Get on it.
Yeah, get right on that.
Absolutely.
Greg, did you get that stuff I sent you to talk about?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay.
I did. It's all good.
I didn't get anything. What the hell?
That's because you never knew the news, dummy.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So professional around here tonight.
I'm going to see Texas Chainsaw 3D tonight.
Oh, that looks like something I'll never see. I don't do horror movies. I just... Yeah.
Next week I'll do a review like I did last week. And frighten everyone.
Yeah. There's been mixed reviews on the on Punk's promo on Monday. What'd you think?
I liked it. I mean, it was long, but...
Yeah.
I get it. Like, people like us, we're going to get it more than most of the audience, I think. I'm fine.
Yeah, I enjoyed the back and forth between both of them, and I wouldn't say it's money. I think it's going to take some time, but I think it's going to work out to be great.
I'm really looking forward to the match.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's
really the whole first part of this year looking pretty good so far.
Yeah. Yeah, WWE's definitely stepped it up in the last 2-3 weeks. Well, really two weeks.
For a guy with a knee injury, he had a hell of a match on Monday, I thought.
Yeah, it was good.
Doing a bunch of stuff a guy coming off an injury maybe shouldn't be doing.
Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
I would love to. We've all heard the old saying that it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. If that's true, then the size of the fight in our guest must be Mondo size. Please welcome from Ring of Honor Wrestling, Mike Mondo.
Boom! What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good, Mike.
Cool, man. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
no problem.
Being here.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead and start us off, Craig.
First things first, man. How's the leg? How are you holding up?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I'm really, kicking ass in my physical therapy, and, I'm trying to just, walk around the ring, just kind of get my movement back. Obviously, I'm far away from making a return, as far as in-ring competitively and whatnot. Because I can just tell the difference in strength. I mean, I've been walking on my right leg. I injured my left one, so I've been walking on my right one, you know, for 3 or 4 months now. So this is like way much more stronger than the left one, you know what I mean? So, and I can tell I'm still failing and beating it a little bit. And, you know, I know when I want to come back, I don't want to have to do that. I want to not even think about it. I just want to go full speed like what I normally do, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's feeling all right, I guess.
I was going to ask you. You tweeted about the worst car ride of your life. You want to talk about that just a little bit?
Oh man, yeah, we can relive that if you want to do that. No, the way I can just pretty much put it from A to Z is that it just sucked. You know what I mean? Pretty much. Well, when I first broke turned out to be the fibular bone in my foot and ankle area. It was like 90 seconds into the match, you know. I heard mm-hmm. a pop when I was on the outside, and I kind of mistimed a little bit, you know, and I stopped. And then when I pick up my speed again, I planted my foot, you know, but I didn't really think anything of it, you know.
Right.
I just kept going, blah, 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 you know, and then got to a point where finally, you know, 3 minutes later, I was like, okay, I'm injured now. I'm not hurt anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is a big difference. Hurt, obviously, you can still keep going and stuff. And then at that point, you know, I knew I was going to be out, so I was like, man, screw it, you know. Originally, I was going to do a moonsault, but there's no way that would have happened, and I'm kind of glad it didn't happen, because if I would have, because I noticed when I pushed off the metal barricade, kind of like moved a little bit, you know what I mean? That could have been pretty bad if it was backwards, you know what I mean? So kind of
mm-hmm.
thankful there. You know, finished the matchup, and then I went to the emergency room. And they wouldn't give me, you know, nothing to relieve the pressure and the pain. And it was almost like, you know, hyperventilating, like shaking and stuff, because it was so, like, it wasn't like, you know, screaming, ah, you know what I mean? But it was just like persistence of annoying, you know what I mean? And it was just, it hurt, you know, whatever. But finally, you know, I didn't get out of there. It's like 2 a.m. I took a cab to get my car, and then I, you know, went home, and then I'd pull over, you know, sleep 45, you know, whatever, and like 7-Eleven or something like that. And then, you know, I haven't even showered after my match, you know what I mean? So I'm feeling just disgusting, you know, so I have another, you know, whatever. And then it's because they did give me, you know, something for my leg, you know, I had to get back to New York and, you know, could get too tired, you know, so you got to pull over, blah, blah, and then, you know, keep going. And eventually I finally made it home, and I remember just freaking just, I don't even think I hit the showers right away. I think I just laid down, you know, so
wow.
There it was. I finally got home 2 days later.
Oof, brutal.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the job, though, you know what I mean? I remember when I laid down on the crate or whatever, because I was just the referee, Gino, was like, yeah, just take me somewhere when no one's around, you know? And, you know, I looked at, you know, my boss in the eye, and I was like, man, I'll go through all that again, you know, just to freaking get back out there. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. You know, it's part of the gig. It's what I signed up for. You know, so it's just it's not gonna affect me. It's not gonna. If anything, it's gonna push me. It's gonna motivate me. And you know what? If something great comes to me, cool. Let's ride with it. You know what I mean? But other than that, I'm just gonna keep moving forward. And not get distracted.
Crazy.
now, Mike, could you go ahead and tell everyone how you basically got involved in being a pro wrestler?
Yeah. I started when I was 18 years old. You know, I had two dreams in life, two goals. One was to be a professional football player, and the other was to be a pro wrestler. I've been a fan of it. I remember I saw my first match when I was 4. I don't remember it, but I remember like a flashback or two maybe. it's something I've been a fan of my whole entire life. I watched it consistently. You know, if it was on TV, it was like, whoa, you know, kid on Christmas, you know. So I knew I was going to get into it. I just never knew when I was going to get into it. And it just kind of happened that it was meant to be, so to speak, I guess you can say, because I went to college, you know, for like a semester or two at Suffolk Community College. I had to take some like remedial courses or whatever like that because it wasn't NCAA eligible. So whatever, I did that, and they told me it was going to be a year. Well, that ended up being 2 years because later to find out, we don't get the credits for the intermediate courses. So I was like, ah, whatever, man, screw it. You know what I mean? I always believed you start out younger, you have a better opportunity and chance of succeeding at what you want to do. I mean, you look at hockey players in Canada, they start skating when they're four. You know, baseball players, you know, they're playing Little League, et cetera. But so I was like, I want to go for one of my dreams. So I went to an independent wrestling show at Memphis Fire Department, sat like in the front row. A guy thought I was a wrestler. I wasn't. I was just a fan. I was a really big kid, football build when I was younger. And he pretty much said, well, you're interested? Here's my card. So I just went down there thinking, all right, you know what? Let's do it. You know, let's not waste any more time. And whatever's meant to be, school and doing that, that's the way we'll go for now, you know. And wrestling happened to take off when I went to an OVW trial camp. Got a call back a week and a half later from Jim Cornette when I was in the parking lot. I remember after training one day, told me to come down, put me in a television show, train with the advanced class, and participate, which was the start, you know, because that's when it was like the light bulb kind of started going off a little bit, you know. And, took off from there, man. Here I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Go ahead, Craig.
You first, after you got signed, they sent you to Ohio Valley, and you started working with Kenny Bolin. How much of an influence has Kenny been on you, and what are your thoughts about Kenny as an inspiration for you, I guess?
King B, man, we're still friends to this day, mostly through the Facebook now because I relocated. I'm living in Long Island, New York now. This is where I was, this is where it all began for me, so to speak. But I was living in Louisville for 10 years, you know, with the exception of Tampa for a couple of years. So I've kind of been bouncing all over the place. But, I seen Kenny all the time at TVs every Wednesday. We have our little talks sometimes. But Kenny was like the first manager I had, and it was really, really good because I like my time in bowling services, and the reason why is that it taught me without even knowing back in the day I was being taught, if that makes sense. But I recognize that now, and now it's like, okay, you know, because I had a team with Heidenreich, a team with Carlito, a team with Shad Gaspar, a team... Gene Snitsky, Bobby Lashley. So, you know, out of all those guys, I'm pretty much like the smaller guy, you know what I mean? So I understood how it was to work tag matches and stuff like that. And every week we pretty much had an interview, you know, and I was so new at the time, I really didn't know, you know what I'm saying? I kind of just was always such a, like what I was told from the beginning, shut your mouth, do what you're told, you know, and that's what I did. But that's where I got used to, like, how to work a camera and stand, and, you know, Jim might give me a line or two, but he knew not to push the envelope too much because maybe that's where I was inexperienced. But I was, my stronger points was always physically in the ring, so that's where I did my thing, you know. Now it's obviously years later, so I'm much more confident on the mic. But, yeah, it was a great time. It was fun, you know, but just like everything, you move forward, and, you know, that was that. So a great heel commentator, by the way, Kenny Bolin.
Yeah.
Guy knows how to get heat. Yeah.
And now, one of your big angles that you did in Ohio Valley was where you had to wrestle Mickie James and Victoria. Could you talk about what it was like to wrestle the women?
Sure. Yeah, that was that's funny. You know, I was thinking about the other day when I was driving to Ring of Honor TV. It's kind of like thinking about like. I did that thing where you just said, you know, in OVW with, you know, Maria, Alexis Lurie, and Victoria, then finally for the payoff. But it's funny because then me, you know, Maria, WWE, you know, we did some things with the Spirit Squad there with Maria, you know, and then ROH, I did the thing with Mike Bennett and Maria, you know. So, it's, like, so yeah, it's kind of like I'm following around, but not really following around, you know what I mean? Yeah, it was fun. It was the Andy Kaufman kind of ripoff type deal. Dreamer was in charge at the time, and you know, gave me the thing, and I just did the best I could with it. You know, it paid off to me and Victoria, but I had to do it. I said I could do it with one head tied behind my back. Earl Hebner, special guest referee, and fell victim.
Who's better in the ring, Victoria or Mickie James?
That's tough, honestly. Well, they're both good in their respective roles. I think from a babyface standpoint, you got to give that to Mickey. I mean, she just has that natural charisma, that natural fire, that little spunk that as a kid, you know, you're going to get into because you just have that energy like she, you know, brings out. She's a great-looking girl. She's in shape, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously the sex appeal's there, you know. But then from a heel standpoint, I mean, you got Victoria. She's got that long black hair, you know. She's got that look, a very distinct look. And she, you know, she's got that aggressive and that intensity, you know, that she's going to fight you like a dude, you know. And that's cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Now you also like wrestled like Brent Albright, and how did you enjoy that feud?
Yeah, that was fun. I don't think it lasted long. I think it was like one match with his eye patched up, I believe. It was pretty much just the backdrop, I think, for of his. I know it was him and Don a lot. Him and Punk. Right, the three-way thing. It was good. Albright's great, you know, great technical wrestler. No problem, you know what I mean? It was cool. It was fun. I don't think it did last that long. I'm not sure.
When you were in Ohio Valley, there was a whole lot of talent back when they were part of the developmental cast territory. Can you talk about just some of your favorite people to work with then? Because, I mean, there was, like, just dozens and dozens of guys that were going
sure.
to the roster or about to get to the roster.
Yeah. And that was cool, you know. I mean, there were so many guys that were just, you know, and you're right. You know, there was, like, at one time 50 guys or 60, and we had, like, I remember Lance had to split it up into two classes and two groups. And that's when the start of where I was, he asked me to train the non-contract guys in the morning, and then I would join one of his classes to get my workout from 12 to 2, and then there would be another class from 2 to 4, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of people, but it was a fun ride, you know. That's one of the benefits, I think, that I've had, you know, looking back, is that I got to work with so many different people, that different styles, you know, granted, obviously, here in, you know, with WWE as far, I mean, there's some overseas is different or, you know, everywhere. But as far as here goes, you know, and what you see on TV here, I mean, I've pretty much been learning with everybody or a lot of people, you know, so, or helped us just to train a lot of the guys that you see on TV today. So, you know, I remember I was kind of like the guy where if they wanted to see where a specific talent came in or just got hired, like, I would be the guy to go in and have a match with them because I can just, that's how I am. I'm able to adapt to everybody and, you know, get the most out of what they do the best, you know, once I figure that out mentally, you know what I mean? So, you know, some favorite guys to work with. I had a lot of great matches with Punk. Chef and Jet was fun. Seth Skyfire was probably my greatest opponent in OVW, you know, because it stands out to me a lot because he was the guy where we didn't have to say nothing to each other. We just knew, you know, we had that natural great chemistry and he was a great athlete. He did what he did was way different to what I did. So it just worked. We had our go-to things that we always did. And it was awesome. You know, but yeah, a lot of Muhammad Ali Vaez, Jim Olivencia, I had great matches with. James Thomas, one of my favorite big men to work. Great, you know, how he moves and everything like that. I have a lot of great moments. Danny Davis, probably my favorite feud there. That was a lot of fun. Kind of disappointed I actually fell short. I was hoping to get him one-on-one. That would have been fun. So, yeah, there you go. There's a few. I'm sure there's more, you know, but I can talk forever.
talk about the day you finally find out you're getting called up.
I think I want to say I was home on Christmas break, and I got a call from Dreamer. They were going to be in New Jersey. So he goes, can you come here? I'm like, yeah. I was obviously on the contract there. And so I went there, and he goes, well, when you show up, like, look like Nemeth. That's what he told me. And I was like, okay. So, like, his blonde highlights, GQ, you know, that look, whatever. So that's what I did, and he told me it was for, he wants to put me in front of Stephanie to see if this is what she's looking for, going for, with Spirit Squad, because, yeah, they were playing with guys left and right, you know. But the one solid one was Kenny at the time, and he was there. So I went there, and pretty much took in Stephanie and goes, what do you think? And she goes, yep, that'll work. I'm like, well, cool. So I had a dark match that night against Chavo Guerrero, easy. Chavo's great. And then Dreamer said he was trying to get me on the house shows that weekend. So it's like, you know, all the shit freaking happened. Which kind of like came at a perfect time, because I remember at the time of my career, I was really lost. And I was just like getting to that point where I was getting that feeling a little bit, you know. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's, I was just like, you know, what's going to click here, you know? And it just, that's when it came. So it was really good timing for me personally, I think, professionally too, I should say. He got me in the house shows that weekend, me and Kenny. It was fun. So I remember driving back, you know, packing up real quick, or that weekend, I should say. Then, you know, I left Friday. It was around the Northeast, Pittsburgh, whatnot. And he wrestled Val the first night on the outside, the first two nights, I should say. And then I worked on the third night, and it was fun. And that was it. That was in. So cool. It was a good feeling at the time, you know. I knew my career now was gonna, it was progressing up now, you know, not what it was stale the way I felt.
Now when they came to you with the actual gimmick of the Spirit Squad, something that probably had never really been done in pro wrestling, it's something that doesn't sound like you would actually see it in wrestling, but I actually liked it. I thought I really loved the group. But what were your thoughts when they were describing basically what your part in your role and what the group was going to be?
At first, you know, it was like, oh wow, this is, at first it was like a little surprise, obviously that little shock, you know, like, yeah, you can expect this, obviously, you know, but I have to say, knowing that it was a Vince McMahon idea, and the fact that this was different and unique, it's never been done, though I don't know, I think TNA, one guy tried it one time, but I mean, it was on WWE, and it was going to be a faction of five, you know? And it was like, well, we knew it was Vince's idea, it was going to get a push. So it was kind of like that little excitement there, you know what I mean? But at the same time, we knew it was going to be, you know, we're going to be put in a position, but can we hold that position, you know? And that was up to us. So, we just, every time an opportunity presented it, we just collectively tried to make the most of our opportunities.
And how did you get along with the other four guys? I know you talked about a little bit with Kenny, but how did you get along with Jeter and Dolph and Mitch?
Dolph's still, yeah, one of my good buddies to this day. Keep in touch with him and Briley, and he's doing real well. In fact, I just watched one of his matches today on YouTube. He sent me one of me to check it out. It was Briley and Trent Beretta versus Dolph and Maddox. It was a good little tag match. Johnny Jeter, he's living in California right now, going back to school, doing his thing. I saw him like 6 months ago when I was doing some motion capture in California. I stopped over and spent the night, and we hung out and caught up a little bit. Kenny's still doing his thing on the Indies, but also going back to school. I think he's playing football right now as well, but we kind of reunite every now and then on the Indies and tag up. It's cool. I hung out with Kenny a lot, so we had a lot of fun the time we spent, like, on the road and stuff. And Mitch is the one guy that I just lost contact with, you know? I mean, he called me a couple times to play phone tag, but we never, like, connected. And I kind of honestly don't know what he's doing right now.
Now, speaking of Jeter, I've heard, like, people, like writers like Dave Meltzer kind of like when they talk about Jeter, talk about a young guy who loved pro wrestling, and it just kind of didn't work out for him in the WWE, and they kind of beat the love out of pro wrestling out of him. Do you kind of feel that way about Jeter? Like, do you think that's what happened to Jeter?
No, I don't think so. My opinion of his situation is, I think that's a little extreme, that example. I don't think that's that at all. Jeter was a guy, same situation as me, you know. He moved down to Louisville to pursue a dream. You know, he loved Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho was his idol. And, you know, he got to work a program with Shawn Michaels. He worked in OVW and paid it off at Six Flags with Chris Jericho. So, you know, that was, I'm sure, you know, just a really, really thing, probably like a goal he fulfilled right off the bat right there, you know. And, you know, a lot of times there's different types of people in this world. There's those that, you know, take myself, like, this is what I'm going to do. I know that, you know, because I'm me and everyone's different and unique of who they are as an individual outside the wrestling world. And people have different goals. You know, some people spin off from wrestling and you know, get into Hollywood or whatever, but it's just how it is, you know, and it just depends on everyone's individual goals. It just happened when the Scare Squad ended, you know, Johnny, it's a different experience up there, man. It's a whole different animal, you know. I mean, it's a business. That's just what it is. And, you know, what people watch on TV, that's the best part, you know, when you go out there and you're doing what you do, you know, in that ring. But it's different, you know, it's different. I'm not saying that he didn't handle that, you know, or me. I know I didn't handle it well, you know, because I was so new and I didn't expect it. Like, if I ever went back now, I would handle it. A lot of things way differently, but I'm also mature, I'm older, et cetera. You know, that's life. But yeah, he decided, you know, he wanted to take a different direction, and that's what he did. He left on good terms with Johnny Ace, and Johnny said he was welcome back anytime. So the door's open for him if he wants to do it, but he's happy doing his thing, and that's as far as I know. Yeah.
Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to ask about you won the tag titles, the WWE tag titles. That had been absolutely amazing. What was your reaction when they told you were going over that night?
Well, it's funny because there's this picture that I have that I'm just looking at right now. But I'm sorry, if you Google it, you can see it. But I'm wearing my white Under Armour shirt, with my hands on my head. I guess I'm just going to pull my hair out. My face is up, and like I'm just, okay, I'm screaming probably, I guess. if you can find it, that's the picture, and that says 1,000 words, so.
Awesome. They put you in a little feud with DX where they played a bunch of pranks on you guys and actually led to a match at Vengeance. How are Triple H and Shawn Michaels as workers? I mean, those guys are so amazing. What did you take away from all of that?
I mean, you said it yourself, really amazing, and that's what they both are in the ring. I mean, they know how to do it. I mean, they've mastered the art, the craft, the whole nine yards. I know for a fact, after working with them, that I knew mentally I was night and day as a worker myself, as far as what I used to be. You know, I just felt like at a whole different level. I felt like my confidence was on another level. I got like really, really just in shape afterwards. And I knew what it took to be on that level, as far as kind of like that light bulb clicking off a little bit, if you know what I mean? Because there's a big difference working the opening match and the main event, you know, and the fact that we were in the main events with them all the time was an experience that maybe 0.5 people in the wrestling world will ever get, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just lucky and blessed to have that opportunity, and I try to be a sponge and just take not just from DX, but, you know, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, we wrestled with them, Sergeant Slaughter, Dusty Rhodes, Ron Simmons, you know, working with Nick Dinsmore, Dustin Rhodes, there's so many great guys that we wrestled that it was just too much knowledge. You know what I mean? So you always do your best to take away what you what you can, you know, from sort of, especially at that age, I was a lot younger, I was trying to do the best I can. But, again, the journey still continues, you know.
Now, when you were working with DX, I think it was probably the last time that everyone came out as a group was when it was after the match, and they kind of threw you guys in the box, and it had, like, didn't it have, like, a Ship to Louisville sticker on it?
It did.
Yeah. That was actually pretty funny. But whose idea was the Louisville sticker? Because that just put it over the top.
OVW, you mean?
Yeah.
That was kind of like an inside joke, I guess. But, like, the way Hunter said it to us backstage, because originally at the time it was supposed to say Tijuana, you know what I mean? And, he just said, wouldn't it be funny, because, like, I think Mitch, you know, was the one in the box, you know what I mean, because I was young, it was pretty small, and he's like, it was, and somebody else, it was a couple of us in there, and then, it was like, oh, it'd be really funny if, you know, because, you know, Mitch inexperienced and back to OVW, you know, and I was like, what are we going to say at the time, you know, so, that's just what it was.
Out of all the pranks that DX played on you guys, which one was, like, the worst? I know they dumped stuff from the ceiling on you guys. They put you in a box. Which one was absolutely the worst?
I guess the worst was probably the crap one. Because it was just, like, dog food and corn and all this nasty crap, you know what I mean? All these different things mixed together was pretty funny. Funny and gross, really. But, the slime thing was another one that I'm sure stands out. I know I get asked about a lot. And that was kind of, you know, that was fun because it was like a slip and slide just all over the place, you know. I mean, you really couldn't stand it. That slippery. So, both a pain in the ass to clean, though. That's for sure.
I bet. Yeah, I bet.
Okay. I was going to ask, how did it feel when they actually released you? I mean, did you leave on good terms, or, I mean, what was your attitude at the time? I'm sure it wasn't, you know, the happiest of experiences. Did it depress you? Did you just rebound right away? I mean, what was your mental state? Aiden, just everything, because I'm sure it came as a surprise when they did let you go.
It wasn't definitely, I mean, who wants to get fired, you know? I mean, that sucks.
Right.
When you get fired, that means you don't collect the check anymore. Cause, you know, when your severance pays over, you got to figure it out, you know what I mean? Then you go from working with the top, you know, promotion as far as the way you can make $1 million in the United States anyway, you know, to now having to take a different road, a different path, and then trying to figure it out. It was hard at first, you know what I mean? I'm a very extremist with my personality. It's like, if I'm going to do it, like, work out, whatever like that, it's like I'm going to go overboard probably, you know? Or it's like I'm going to have a really hard time getting going. Like, it's kind of hard to find a happy medium with me. So I try to stay on the up, you know, the positive side there. But, you know, I fell a little bit, you know, and I slacked, I stopped working out, and I got, you know, fat for me, you know what I mean? I was never that big. But then, you know, I remember him specifically, and I told him to this day, you know, he gave me that the pep talk, like almost like that right hook in the face, you know, fucking, this is what you want to do, you know, you got to go and do it. I mean, this is it, you know, you ain't getting any younger. I mean, not that I was a little bit, but. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do it, then it's over. You quit. You're done. So that's when the rise of No Fear Mike Mondo began again. And a lot of help with Rob Conway, too. He gave me a lot of talks when I was in Florida. And he's the one that, you know, kind of gave me that new diet because I knew, you know, I wanted to get all lean and shredded and stuff. And that just totally just try to reinvent my look. You know, get far away from the cheerleader thing as possible. So, I literally went from like a big fat, whatever, out of shape, you know, whatever, to all of a sudden a mini-sized live-action figure, you know? And So, because it's the first time I've ever looked like that, you know, so it was the best, you know what I mean? Then just trying to maintain after that, you know? So, and I did it clean, too. I didn't, you know, I never take any enhancement, like, daily or anything. Not that I'm going to have a problem with it. Everyone has a choice. This is what I do, you know? So,
When I was setting up this show with you, it was funny because we exchanged a couple of back and forths, and you asked what time the show was, and I said it was at 9 o'clock your time, and you said, "Good, that way I can hit the gym." Tell us what your workout routine is. I mean, what do you do when you get up in the morning? I mean, what's your regimen?
Okay. Yeah, I like to switch it up a lot only because I've noticed that I've done the same thing for so long, I remember. And, again, like being hurt, like I couldn't do cardio for the longest time. I've still been in the gym and do my upper body, you know what I mean? But it was getting to that point where I just felt like, you know, maybe the weights have kind of run its course with me. I'm still going to do them, but I'm not just going to do that, you know? So now it's like got my buddy Demon Thompson and Louisville Mo Green. If you guys remember him, he was with JBL as Morris. I want to say that Ernest Cat Miller. Yeah, he's also a personal trainer and fitness instructor. So he's put me on this whole new type of workout with the kettlebell and the sledgehammer. Like, I like the strongman stuff, you know. So I've been really into that and still keep my same like ab routine, which is still a lot of medicine ball crunches. But 3/4 of honestly, the battle is diet and cardio, you know. I mean, if you can, with that stuff there, that CrossFit-type workout, what I just said, that kind of, you're getting the best of both. You're getting that endurance, the cardio, and also I feel it works the best with pulling because it just tires you out, you know, and it's just like that's what you got to do, you know, picking people up and stuff like that. So, and I'm, you know, so I've been doing like some of that stuff, just trying to do the best I can with my ankle and, yeah, just trying to see if we can get back to the old Mondo body again, you know.
And when you went and got as shredded as you were on your diet, how much of the carbs did you cut out? I mean, I would imagine you were probably going carb free for like a long time.
Yeah, sometimes it just like it depends if I was like it depends how I felt, you know. Like one day I just woke up in the morning, it's like, man, I want to get super freaking just lean, you know. So it's like you got to make those sacrifices, but in the return, like you it's really uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Because like you just want to eat, you know, and it's almost like feeling like you're depriving your body, you know. But it's like if you want to look sweet like that, you know, that's what you got. That's kind of like. That's what I found that I thought I had to do for my body. So I'm naturally just a big guy. I have no problem. People say it's like, man, I can't gain weight. Man, I have no problem doing that, you know, but I have a hard time losing it and getting lean. So every ab, it's like I have to work for that. Otherwise, it would just be a big ab, you know. So, yeah, that's that. And also drinking a lot of water, too, like a gallon a day, you know. Otherwise, it's funny because it seems like it's the opposite. It's like when you don't drink water, you feel like, okay, well, I'm not going to retain any water. But it's the opposite because your body's craving that water, so it's taking it, and that's what off in certain areas. And that's a whole different bodybuilding lecture, though. You know, but, you know, it keeps you flushed out. It looks you know, keeps you a little harder and leaner and stuff. So I try to take all those, like, little shortcuts there, you know, and just – just do the best I can, you know. I gotta get my cardio condition back to what it used to be. Though that's my first goal right now.
Cool. Now you had mentioned a kettlebell, and that kind of reminded me of a question that one of our listeners wanted to ask. And his goes by the name of Brutal Bob Evans, and he wanted us.
Brutal B. Yes.
He wanted me to ask you is how awesome is Bob Evans?
How what? Oh, Bob Evans. Everyone said this exactly.
Now, you were actually supposed to wrestle Bob not too long ago, but of course your injury prevented you. But you did do commentary on one of his matches. How did you enjoy that?
He did commentary one of my matches, right? I don't think I ever commentated his. Oh, I did. The Iron Man.
Yeah.
I forget the last one. I'm thinking Ring of Honor. No, yeah, that was freaking sweet. I actually genuinely emotionally got involved in the end, you know. And I was kind of curious. I was like, because I was supposed to do it, but my injury prevented that from happening. And I was like, man, I'm just kind of curious how it works, you know, because everyone's like, yeah, this is cool, you know. So I was like, man, I want to do it. I had that itch. I was legitimately disappointed. I couldn't do it. So but I told him, I was like, you know, if you had it, you're the last one, you know, because that just meant was something that meant a lot to him, you know, and good friends. Outside of wrestling, obviously. So I was like, I'll be there, you know. So I freaking went, and it was cool. I was on my feet at the end, just freaking being a fan. It was fun, you know. And congratulations to him. That's a big accomplishment, you know. And I hope that people around the world see that, recognize that in him and his work ethic, and very passionate guy, you know. He deserves any success he has going forward.
Definitely. So after a short stint on the indies, ROH finally came a call in 2010. And what's it like working with so much talent in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, Ring of Honor was a big challenge for me. I mean, definitely an obstacle, but I'm determined to, you know, reach the top and the pinnacle of the success in Ring of Honor for sure. That's without a question. And it's different. It was different for me at first, you know, because different style, different wrestlers from all around the world, you know, and not just wrestling, you know, martial arts and different forms of, you know, right. MMA fighting, jiu-jitsu, and stuff like that. So, I mean, this opens up a whole new freaking world now for the types of matches, you know, especially different ones than from what I'm accustomed to. So it was a cool. It was a challenge. One and two, it was cool because now this is going to open up a whole new arsenal for me. You know, it's like almost like the next chapter. So I mean, I've wrestled lots of great guys, you know, talent, Davey Richards a couple of times, Jay Lethal, Kevin Steen, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, pretty much a lot, like almost I'd say three quarters of the roster. You know. Mm-hmm. And everyone brings a different thing to the table, and it's fun, it's unique, and it really gives you the chance to be creative and showcase your athleticism, because that's, I feel, what Ring of Honor offers to the fans as opposed to what WWE and the other promotions do in the United States, where it's more kind of towards an entertainment, you know, male soap opera-ish a little bit, you know, and that's fine, that's cool, you know, but Ring of Honor brings that wrestling, hard-hitting, you know, that MMA type feel, you know, and it's like a fight in there, and it's cool. It brings that energy. The fans voice their opinions and who they like and who they don't. They have their things that they do, and they're just as involved as, you know, the wrestlers are. So it's awesome.
Now, recently Jim Cornette, he parted ways with Ring of Honor. I don't want to say he quit or got fired, but just, he's taking a break from pro wrestling at the time. What are your thoughts on Jim leaving? Do you feel he'll be back soon, or
Yeah, it's one of those like talks that was kind of just like he was taking a break, and you know, that was it. You know, it's not something people talked about. It's none of our, you know, it's none of our business. Obviously, my opinion is it's definitely something that's not beneficial for sure, you know, with him being Ring of Honor, because he's just, he's a genius. I mean, he's the guy that I will always forever be thankful for my career, because he's the one that, you know, you saw, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, but as promoters and people out there, you can have people that are fans of you and you can have people that are not fans of you. That's just how the business works, you know. And I've had the people that aren't fans, but Jim's was one of the ones that was a fan of my stuff and what I did, and I know he liked my facials a lot back in the day, and how I sell now today, and you know, he gave me like the biggest compliment is probably what I got in wrestling, is that, you know, he called me like a veteran of the business, and I'm thinking, you know, Jim's saying to me, you know, and it's like, because when I think of veterans, I think of Bret Hart, you know,
sure.
Ric Flair, those guys, and it's like, you know, he's like, no, Mike, you're a veteran, and I'm like, damn, that's pretty sweet, you know. So, but he's the one that gave me the opportunities. You know, he really tried to help get me signed with WWE at the beginning, and then he got let go. He worked a Ring of Honor. You know, and I'm not saying I got there all on my own. No, because a lot of times in wrestling, it's who you know. And Jim knew I was going to go in there and not shit the bed. Does that make sense? So now the rest is up to me. So, yeah, it sucks. Hey, one of the best promos, you know, in the business, obviously. I mean, I know a lot of us, we learn from that for sure, because the way you get better at the wrestling is with experience. And, you know, he has over 30 years' experience, so way more than all of us have, you know. So to be able to benefit from that is just a huge, huge, you know, assessment for you, you know. So it sucks he's gone, you know. But this is my opinion.
Now, you know, speaking of Cornette, like when you were in Ohio Valley, you had a lot of great trainers. You mentioned Lance Storm, who's another a friend of the show. And, of course, Danny Davis. And I would imagine you worked with Rip Rogers.
Yeah, huge. You know, okay. I mean, Rip Rogers is responsible for the foundation. You know, I always say to my students, like, you can't have a beautiful house without a solid foundation. You know, that's where all the basics and everything. You know, you cannot have a bad match if you got that. You know what I mean? So, Rip, all the way. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask if you could talk about, like, what the three of them taught you the most and what you learned from the three of them, and what are the differences between the training styles between the three of them?
Dr. Tom Pritchard, I was trained by a lot more than those three. I can elaborate on them if you want. Dr. Tom had this quote, it makes perfect sense, and I use it to this day. It's wrestling's like ice cream, you know, some like chocolate, some like vanilla, some like strawberry. It's different flavors, you know, but in the end, it's all ice cream. So the people that broke me in the business from the start, very beginning, was John Mayer and John Kurse, who run NYWC Wrestling here in Long Island, which I'm a part of. And actually, people can enroll there if they're in the Northeast Long Island area, because I'm going to be one of the head trainers, you know, once my legs all healed up 100%. So you can check that out on nywcwrestling.com. Get more information on that. But moving forward, then, you know, OVW was trained by Danny Davis, Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman, Al Snow, Robert Gibson. In FCW is Dr. Tom Pritchard, who, again, Dr. Tom Pritchard is, again, on another level than most people in this business, in my opinion. Another one that's very influential in my career and kind of took me under his wing and really taught me, and great friends to this day. And not in the respect that anyone can ever attend one of our seminars or practices, I highly recommend it, because that guy knows what it takes, and he gave me the quote that I use how about my life, my lifestyle, those that say they do, those that say they will, and those that will do whatever it takes. And he said that, and that always stuck out in my head, and that's what I apply in life in general. Everyone offers, Lance Storm, definitely, can't forget him, Bill DeMott, trained by him for a little bit. So it's like I have all these different, like, recipes, you know what I mean? And it's like Lance Storm, I remember, taught a lot about the, you know, just the hands-on, you know, false finishes and just how, what it takes to build a good comeback, and, you know, so smart, so good. And so I learned from there that Al was more about business and, you know, every match has a purpose, and it's your job to figure out what that purpose is in your match that you need to accomplish, you know, and building a card and building a match. So I got that from him. I learned how to book with Jim Cornette, car rides and stuff. He just asked him questions, picking his brain. He taught me a lot from that aspect. Jim made me feel comfortable in front of a microphone. Now it's like when I get that microphone, it's just all confidence, and I just say what I need to do. You know, so it's like I learned so much from different people. You know, like there's not one that's the best. I mean, Rip, I spent the most time with probably. And Rip, I've learned all the old school tricks and stuff, and just he drills in my mind that I keep making it like look like a contest and not making it look real, because that's, you know, especially the way it is today, everything's believe, you know, like realism and everything like that. So just different things, and then I go in there and I do my thing. And,
you think you would have found your way to ROH if they hadn't around the Davis Arena for the for their taping?
Who knows, man? You know, it's like same question, would I be where I am today if football worked out, you know, when I started in the business, which I would be like 6 years in now as opposed to almost 12, you know? So the Spirit Squad would never happen. My life would have always, it would have taken a different course. With Ring of Honor, I mean, in wrestling, a lot of it, well, it pretty much is right place, right time, luck. And then if you get your foot in the door, let your talent speak for itself, you know? And then hopefully you go and progress the way you want to and you do the, you know, just do the best you can. You can't, the only thing in life you can control is how jacked and tan you are. You know what I mean? The rest, you just got to do your thing and just freaking go with the flow and try to do the best you can. That's just life. So, who knows, you know? But in the game, once I knew that was an opportunity, you know, and Jim smarted me up to that. He's like, you know, they're watching you, so this is, do your thing, you know, and it was up to me to freaking pull it off. So I'm here now under contract with them, you know, on all the live events. Still, you know, I'm hurt. I'm still doing TV commentary and stuff. Staying, keep my face floating around, so, you know. So hopefully that means that I could do that.
Cool. Now, speaking of ROH, I have tickets to the show Mania Weekend, and I was wondering if you are. Is there any chance that you'll be ready to go at that time, or how's the out? How long do you think you'll be before you're competing again?
My approximation, I'm gonna say probably a couple months down the road. So I think that's in April, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a good high chance that I'll be in action. I'm hoping, or I'll definitely be in the house for sure. But I wasn't told anything. I don't even know what's going forward. You know, I'm just kind of taking it day at a time and just concentrated on just the rehabbing process. But if you're there, I promise there's a good chance you'll probably see me there. But I just got to see how everything keeps going. And it's up to them when they go, okay, it's go time again, you know. So, but I'll be ready. That's for sure. When you see me out there, I'm gonna be on. Cause I won't, you know, that's something about me. Nothing less than 100%. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now I wanted to, out of all the members of the Spirit Squad, the one that's had the most success is Dolph. And I know you said you were very good friends with him. And right now he's on the cusp of breaking through. And I was wondering if you could give us your opinion on. What does he need, or what needs to happen for him to break through? Because he's just about ready. It's like the people are starting to accept him, but it's like, you know, they haven't gone all the way with him.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Someone else asked me that question too. A couple interviews I did in the past. You know, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes why they do what they do. It's just sometimes that's how it happens. There's no question Dolph is night and day from when he was in the Spirit Squad to where he is now. I mean, like I said, I just watched that tag match, and one of the things I told Briley was, look at the difference when you're in there, you know, doing your thing with Maddox, you know, and then watch when you get in there with your brother, and just look at the difference, you know, and you can tell him Ziggler is polished, and he's increased, you know, uphill tremendously since those days. And good for him. You know, the guy works hard. He's a member of Florida, very, very persistent, working hard. You know, he knew what he wanted, and he got it, you know, and that's what it takes. So, you know, but he's the type of guy where it's like, okay, well, if it's not that brass ring yet, you know, he's going to keep going. You know, I mean, they know he works hard. He, you know, he's a great wrestler. He can talk. He's got the look, you know. So they know what they have. It's just a matter of, I think, you know, letting the leash go and then let him do his thing. But sometimes you can only, again, you can only control how jack and tan you are. You know what I mean? So I'm not up there. I don't know. I don't know what the position are always being told. We don't really discuss a lot of business when we talk. We just kind of see what the heck we're up to, and that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Craig, you want to go ahead and, before we wrap up, you have any last questions you want to ask?
I'll just use this, my last speaking role here as a plug for Mr. Mondo. You can check him out at Twitter. He's at MikeMondo83, and you might be able to find him on Facebook, too. So check Mike out, and, of course, support ROHWrestling.com.
And yeah, the Facebook slash Mike Mondo. Facebook/Mike Mondo. That's the official page. I don't know if there's any phony ones out there. So yeah, drop me a request.
Yeah, like I did.
Now, Mike, before we go, I want to give you the opportunity to plug anything else you'd like to plug up.
Yeah, sure. I just did the Facebook, knock the Twitter out of the way. There you go. You can follow me there. ROH Wrestling. That's where we can, you know, become a member, watch all the television shows, the best wrestling around, toughest athletes around the world. My fan site, who's run by a dear friend of mine, Mallory Mika. Thank you for all the hard work. It's www.mike-mondo.net. All the results, stuff of my matches after they happen, videos, pictures, the whole nine yards. Really cool site. That's about it. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on the show. I appreciate it. We had some fun going back and talking about some things.
Oh, yeah. It was
yeah,
fun.
Get better, man.
We really appreciate you spending so much time with us. And we really do appreciate that. And we want to wish you the best of luck in your recovery and in your future career. And we hope to see big things from you in the future.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, have a good night.
Take care now. Bye.
Yep.
Take care.
What a nice fella.
Cool. I thought that went very well. That's so bye. I didn't even realize you were already at an hour.
Oh, yeah. I know. It flew by. He said he could go an hour, and I wanted to respect that, so that's why I messaged you. So, yeah. Yeah,
and,
nice guy.
Yeah. And, there was actually a few more things I wanted to ask, but I'm sure we can probably do that at a later time. And
I would imagine.
And then, like I say, I love the Spirit Squad. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they don't.
Yeah,
they don't like it because, yeah, it was cheerleaders, and also because of the way some people perceived them of being treated, you know. But I thought they were great. And he was my favorite one because he was like the one that was like the most into it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. I just loved his. I loved his gimmick when he first came to ROH. He's no offense. He's a smaller dude, but he carries himself around the ring like he's Godzilla. You know what I mean? Love that. Yeah, he's
more ways to be used in WWE than working with Hunter and Shawn and the McMahons for like 4 or 5 months. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, no kidding. And I kind of had forgot, but I wanted to ask him because I never saw it, but I heard that when him and Snitsy used to come out, that he Snitsy used to come out on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? Yeah.
Didn't he play his brother or something?
I think that's what the story was. Is they were like, I can say I meant to ask, but I just never got to it.
Yeah, you got me. You know how my memory is.
Yeah, no kidding. But do we have any news of the week here?
Yeah, we got some news. Let me pull it up here. You guys talk amongst yourselves real quick. I'll get on that. It's all TNA news, oddly enough.
Yeah, there's some big changes in their pay-per-view. They might actually... Well, make some profits off the pay-per-view now if they get lucky.
Possibly.
They won't.
They probably won't make money, but I think they'll get more buys. there'll be a slight increase. I don't know how much of an increase of actual profit it would be, though.
What they wanted to buy is they should have put Brooke and Bully Reagan married on the pay-per-view instead of on the TV.
Okay, am I the only one that thinks Bully Ray is turning heel next week?
He's got to be.
That's got to be the silliest, most ridiculous angle he's ever been in. And if he's not turning heel,
he's going to end up being the leader of the Aces and Eights.
That would make sense. And then rejoin Devon.
Oh, that might drag him down because that thing sucks now.
Well, maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need a little Bully Ray.
Brooke should turn too. She could be a biker slut.
Ooh.
Right. Brooke in some leather shorts and some biker boots. And yeah, that sounds awesome.
Well, let me start with the news. TNA has reached their live pay-per-view schedule for 2013, and they're cutting back, which I am all for. I think all the promotions should cut back a few. They're going to burn out our pay-per-view audience. First of all, they got Genesis, and that is this month, and then they have Lockdown on 3/10, they have Slammiversary on 6/9, and they have Bound for Glory in October. So
that sounds like the 80s.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's five pay-per-views, and then they're going to start doing some one-off pay-per-views that are basically going to be taping on Friday nights, and they'll be playing them starting Sunday. It'll be TNA one-night-only pay-per-views, much like the old WWE In Your House, except these will be taped instead of live shows.
One night only, eight times a year.
Right.
Okay.
Just like Cena and Rock, once in a lifetime, except once again in WrestleMania this year.
Hmm.
So these seven events will be $14.95, and they will have these one-night-only events, and they are as follows. The TNA Extreme Extravaganza, it will feature the X Division stars, and this will be taped on the 13th of this month, and I'm actually looking forward to this one. It looks really good. Bringing in older TNA high flyers, Matt Bentley. Help me out here, Trey.
I think Jerry Lynn's going back to play Rob Van Dam in one of his last matches.
Okay,
I heard that someplace.
Yeah, I did hear that as well.
Yeah, the makeup for the one where Jerry got hurt when they were supposed to do that one case review. Yeah.
Anyway, they're bringing in.
They need to bring back the Flying Elvises.
Okay.
Craig needs to turn off his phone.
Yeah, I know. There we go.
Professional, Craig.
Yeah, I know. I need to kill this phone, throw it out my window. Anyway, also being taped on the 13th is the TNA Joker's Wild Tag Team Special. It'll feature an enemies teaming in a Battle Royal final.
Well, by the time this thing airs, there probably won't be enemies anymore.
That's true.
Because I think it's airing in May, this Joker's Wild tournament that they're doing. And the X Division thing is airing in April, so.
Oh, wow. Well, speaking of TNA pay-per-views, I'm still waiting for Matt Cleary to buy me wrist tattoos for TNA lockdowns. So get on the ball, man.
It's in your city, isn't it?
It is.
It's in San Antonio. Why aren't you buying him tickets?
Because I would probably lose the tickets, and then I would lose the money that I pay for the tickets. So it's safer if Matt gets them.
See, you invite him to come to the show in your town, and you pay. And then if he invites you to go to his town, then he pays. It's not hard.
That's fair.
Okay. So then when I go to Houston for Battlestar Galactic Con in May, I'll make sure he pays for everything.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, moving along. We got also in the one-night-only pay-per-views, we have another TNA Hardcore Justice 2. It'll be an ECW-style reunion, quote-unquote, hardcore show. The TNA says 10 reunion, stars from the early days of TNA battling inside the six-sided ring.
I hope Cheeks comes back.
Forgot about Cheeks. I called Brian that for the longest time because he was Chico, so I called him Cheeks. I saw that now on the screen, and I said, Brian, I'm never going to call you Cheeks ever again.
I want the puppet, the midget jerking off in the garbage can. I want the Johnsons and, you know, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the midget. They got to have a midget jacking off in a trash can because, to me, that's still the defining moment of TNA's history.
Oh, God, that means Vince Russo might come back.
Oh, God, also included the TNA Knockouts Knockdown, a one-night-only knockout tournament. This sounds absolutely horrible.
It sounds absolutely awesome.
Oh, my gosh. A full show of knockouts.
Yeah,
I ain't buying that shit.
I'm going
to pay $100 for this show if I had to.
Well, you're stupid.
I'll tell you.
No, I just like talent.
Good Jesus.
Okay,
also,
I like Cincinnati.
Also, a TNA International Incident. It's a one-night tournament featuring talent from the U.S., India, Mexico, Ireland, Canada, Germany, Japan, so forth and so on. The winner earns a TNA title shot. Also, a TNA X Division World Cup tournament. I've actually liked these in the past. These have been pretty good. Four teams of X Division wrestlers, one-night only tournament featuring singles, tags, six-man and eight-man tag team bouts. And last but certainly not least, the TNA World Cup of Wrestling, one of my favorite events. They played these, gosh, probably been about 2 years where they actually had TNA talent wrestling from Japan. This time it'll be four teams, each captained by a TNA wrestler facing a heavyweight wrestler, a tag team, and an X Division wrestler battling in singles, tags, and stipulation bouts. The final will be a two-ring triple chance battle royal. Interesting.
Yeah, those were awesome shows back when they did those, like, the U.S. versus, like, Mexico or U.S. versus Japan. And
yeah.
Isn't it kind of funny that the two biggest stars in Japan right now and that are causing the comeback for New Japan Wrestling were basically just wasted away when TNA had them? I mean, didn't they just waste away Tanahashi and Okada or Okada or whatever his name
Tanahashi
is?
Tanahashi they brought in. They brought in, like, It was just for like one pay-per-view. He faced AJ Styles, and it ended with a Shannon Moore run-in or some stupid shit like that. So it was like the waste
wow.
of a fucking trip.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he was there a little longer. And then, what is his name, Okada or Okada?
Okada.
It was Kato in TNA, though, right?
Was he the one that was doing the Green Hornet Kato gimmick?
Yeah, he was with Samoa Joe, and the Pope kept beating him up every week.
That's just screwed up TNA, so I barely remember that.
That's when the first time I heard, like, Dave talk about Okada going to Japan and, like, him kind of getting a push, and I'm thinking, didn't I just hear about this guy just being, like, a total joke and then nobody in TNA, and now there's going to be, like, the number one contender? And apparently...
When they signed, like, Jushin Liger to come in for the lockdown pay-per-view, it was going to be, like, his first cage match ever, and they canceled it because they didn't want his first cage match ever to be on the TNA pay-per-view.
Well, that's fair.
World Cup, that's when Hoovy fucked up Jerry Lynn's shoulder, isn't it?
That sounds right.
I think he's, like... He flopped one of the movie drivers or something. I think Jerry Lynn was pissed about that, if I remember.
Oh, he's pissed about it. I asked him about that in Houston. In Houston, you just bring up Hoovy to Jerry Lynn, it changes his whole attitude.
I think you bring up Hoovy to anybody, it changes their attitude.
It's true.
Or anybody that knows
Yeah, but Jerry's a nice guy. I mean, he's like the most super nice, humble guy, and then... He being a movie, he gets pissed off.
Why don't you try to get him on the show, Craig, since he's doing his retirement tour?
I got his number. I should give him a text there and see if I can get him.
Yes, you should. Speaking of TNA news, there's having a little pay-per-view this weekend. It's called Genesis, and the rundown is as follows. There is a women's rumble-style match with the number one contender, the winner to be the number one contender for the title. I also
be a five-star match.
Sure. We also have Devon versus Joseph Park. One of the best things on the show last night was Joseph Park in the ring with Hulk Hogan and him begging for a match.
Now, the gut check, isn't that tailor-made for, like, this Joseph Park thing? Put him through the gut check and then have him
totally
evaluated. I think that'd be awesome.
I'll send a message to Lagana. Of course, he doesn't have any pull. Anyway, Kenny King will wrestle Christian York, and whoever wins that match will face RVD for the X title later on in the show. Okay, you have nothing to say about that.
Christian York, that wasn't Morrison's partner.
No, that was Joey Mercury.
Okay, Joey Mercury. Which one was Christian York? Was He used to be in a tag team. Who did he team with?
Joey Matthews and Christian York in the Indies. That was Joey Mercury.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was just this. Okay, I know who it is now. Okay, I gotcha.
The Dreads threw you off. I'm sure that's what I did too. You have James Storm versus Christopher Daniels. Probably a show stealer there. We have Sting versus Doc. Let's hope they keep it short. No offense to Sting. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan in a feud that nobody cares about.
I like that. I like the angle they did last night. Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan are in this trailer cutting a promo, and out of the window you see Chavo and Hernandez looking through the window, and all of a sudden they just jump in the trailer. They get in this big fight, and then Chavo says, "Wait, let's wait for the pay-per-view." I said, "Well, why the fuck did you get in this trailer and start fighting them then? You idiot." Stupidest thing.
Yeah. And in the main event, we have Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries versus Bobby Roode, a three-way for the TNA title. That should be a good match too, actually.
Not much of a show, I don't think. A couple of good men.
No. It's one more reason to cut back on the amount of pay-per-views. I wish WWE would do that as well. I don't mind missing them, but then when I do, I feel really bad that I missed them. You know what I mean?
I always thought WWE had the perfect mix when they just had, like, the five shows a year. You know, you had Royal Rumble, then you had Mania, King of the Ring, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series, because they're all pretty unique, you know, pay-per-views. So.
Yeah. And then they started doing the In Your Houses, and it was every stinking month. And now, you know, last year there was a couple of times, or there was one time last year where it was 2 weeks later, and you were running and having another pay-per-view. It was crazy.
Yeah, my wallet will appreciate TNA this year.
yeah, totally. I mean, and not to mention, shelling out $14.95 does not hurt half as bad as shelling out $54.95.
That's right.
Just saying. And that is the news.
Hey, give some news on Sunny, Ed. I know you were in the big. You had some news on her this week that you posted about.
Ah, I got freaking unfriended by Sunny on Facebook, man.
That's awesome.
It was funny. Well, basically, I was just, you know, here kicking back in stone, checking out Facebook, and I see Sunny post that she's home, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know, maybe she's got her act together, and then I see that she changed her merch status or her relationship status from single to engaged. So I commented, oh God, here we go again.
Right?
So then I get notifications that people are liking my comments. So I clicked on one of them, and then I can't see the page. I go to her Facebook page, and it says to, you know, send her a friend request. So it's like she unfriended me like within like
quick.
A couple minutes of the comment. And the what?
I said, that'll learn you.
Yeah, that'll learn.
There's worse
so
people
have,
to be,
know,
unfriended by.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, I'm sure it won't be a matter of time before we're talking about her getting arrested again, her trying to kill her boyfriend.
She did all this shit, too.
I don't know. She has to be delusional to think she's actually going to get married to this dude.
Send her to live with DDP like Jake the Snake.
Oh, no doubt.
And Scott Hall is going to go live with DDP now. That's just like a reality show waiting to happen.
Isn't it? That's like, man, they should throw Dr. Drew in there, too. What the heck? And just have DDP train him, and then Dr. Drew get to the heart of the matter. Oh, what a reality show that would be. My God.
Right? They could have Jake, Sonny, the Iron Sheik,
Scott Hall,
Marty Jannetty.
Scott
Hall. Yeah, they could have dozens and dozens of guys. But
he calls it the Deadpool or something like that. I don't know. I'm sorry. I wish I'd have been friends with Billy Graham on Facebook this week, because I'd have gone and trolled his ass. that stupid shit he said the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I did not say that. See that.
He jumped over all over CM Punk's promo when he's talking about Bruno only working like once a month in Madison Square Garden. He talked about how disrespectful it was, and CM Punk should be ashamed of himself for saying such a thing. He's a fucking heel, you idiot. He's supposed to say shit like that.
Yeah. Going back to like Sunday, you know, I made that one post to where after Shannon friended me, and I made all my little comments on there. And what's so funny is the very last comment on that thread is by Crystal Marshall. Crystal, what's her name? Crystal Marshall, married a Teddy Long, and she was actually married to Bobby Lashley.
Or something.
And last week, I just freaked me out that of all people, an actual diva actually commented on that one. But anyway, that was a fun day.
Unbelievable.
Social media is going to be the downfall of society pretty soon. Already is.
And then I didn't actually see it because, like I say, I'm not her friend anymore. But I think Clint posted another status she put it from Facebook on, saying that, basically her plan is to go on a farewell tour and then go to, chiropractic to be like a massage therapist, whatever, like Doc G. And then she comes to anybody interested in buying a WWE Hall of Fame ring.
Oh, wow. She quite no shame.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Did you guys get to watch any of the New Japan show?
I haven't seen it all because it's so damn long, but I did see Minoru Suzuki against Yuji Nagata. And, I heard the comments by Dave, like Dave's review before I saw it, and he was talking about their facials, and goddamn, those two guys could have just never even touched each other. They could have just made faces at each other, and it would have been awesome.
I got to see the Prince Devitt and Low-Ki, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the other guy's name, the three-way, and that match is spectacular. That's just awesome. I ended up finding another YouTube stream. And with DirecTV, they actually have a YouTube app, so I could actually watch. I actually got to watch a lot of it on my big screen, which was awesome. And Low-Ki wearing the Hitman suit, the red tie, white shirt, the black suit, and getting all his stuff in that getup, hats off to him. That match was absolutely phenomenal. There was a super Frankensteiner spot. It was beautiful. Just a great, great match. Prince Devitt he's amazing. And I get it now. That's the first time I've ever actually seen him wrestle. That guy he's awesome.
I watched the opening match, which was like, eight-man, and it was very weird, and all I can say is, how can Bob Sapp be such a horrible wrestler and be so awesome at the same time? He has no idea what he's doing, but he has so much he's so charismatic. It was weird. And then Aki Bono in wrestling gear. I so used to seeing him dressed in either like the sumo outfit or like a gi, like when he fought in UFC. But this big giant fat guy in wrestling gear, that was funny. And I saw the tag match with Davey Boy and Hoyt, and that was a decent match. They're a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, I'll be checking out more of it this week. I think I might have to buy more of those. It's good stuff.
Yeah, they were pretty good. But I guess we're about 5 minutes to go here, so let me start throwing out the plugs. Everyone check out tankandworks.com. You can always stream and download our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks show and a whole bunch of other stuff. So check out angrymarks.com. You can also friend me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And please feel free to retweet and plug our show. And Craig, you want to give out Armando's plugs again?
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I was done with that. Mike Mondo, just look up Mike Mondo on Facebook, and you'll find that there. And once again, Mike Mondo 83 on Twitter. Apparently that was the year he was born. So as for me, you can check me out, Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, Jam, at Twitter. And, of course, Craig Proper on Facebook. So friend me. Ed, you can go ahead and start retweeting. Just tag me in those show things on Twitter. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. What do you got coming up, Katrina?
Do what?
What do you got coming up? You got any shows with Sinbad or anything?
I think we're going to try to give one in, like, in maybe a week or so. After the holidays, we've kind of been just haven't done any.
Yeah.
And you can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Katrera. I've got some awesome stuff up there. I just put up there today. I got, for the year 1987, I got just about every episode of Pro Wrestling This Week with Gordon Solie and Joe Cristino, where they reported the news in all the federations and had clips from all the federations in their matches and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was watching earlier today, and there's like stuff on Continental and Memphis and NWA, UWF. They do a bunch of stuff on there. You got people from Pro Wrestling Illustrated on there. You got Bill After and people like that. So it's some good stuff. I was watching earlier today. Everybody should go check it out.
Definitely. That's cool. Good. That's good stuff. I love that show, and it was on briefly here.
Could never do that again with the copyright and stuff. I don't know how they got away with it, I guess.
Yeah, they never showed anything from WWF at the time, so I'm sure that was a big sticking point for sure.
Yeah, I was watching the first episode from January of 87. They're giving out the year-end awards, and Ed Lex Luger, he won the Rookie of the Year, and he talked about all his accolades, or allocates, or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool.
Cool. Well, do we have any plans for next week?
I got some guys on the hook. I've got a couple of definite maybes. So, like I said, I got busy this week and finally sent out some emails and I contacted some people. So, got some guys on the hook. I'm still trying to hammer down the guy from High Spot. He actually had a show tonight. He said I could pass around the phone. You guys could talk to Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, we've had every one of those guys in the show already. And, yeah, because the Dynamite Doc comes out in just a couple weeks, so I'd like to get him on fairly soon, and I won't throw out the names of the other guys because that's just like...
asking for it to fall through.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, we all remember the time that I had Jim the Anvil Neidhart on the hook. Spoke to him once.
I've never knew that.
Yeah, I had Anvil on the hook and spoke to him one time, and that's the last I ever heard from the man.
That's because he was in jail for breaking in that woman's house and stealing drugs.
Well, everybody
it was right
have a
before that. It was right.
Yeah, you're right. It was probably maybe a month or two before that. That's a good call. I forgot about that. That's probably why I never heard from him again.
But so everybody come back next week. We'll have an awesome show like we have every week, just like this. The show was awesome. So everybody come back next week and we will talk to everybody then.
See ya.
The Breather Man, You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up. Tonight.